Thank you to Dan and the band for leading us in worship this morning. Good morning, everyone. Let's get into it. We are taking, I know we just got started, we are taking a one-week break from our spiritual practices series to do something a little bit different. Before we get into it, though, there is a clip from a movie that I want to show you. So let's roll that clip.
I can fit through there.
Hmm?
You wanna know why?
Why?
Because I'm little. Give me that shoelace.
So, very short, but this is from the movie Fantastic Mr. Fox. I love that movie. And the reason this is such a big moment in the movie is because for the entire movie, the young fox hates that he is so little. He feels like a disappointment to his dad. His cousins and family pick on him. It's just a bummer being little. But finally, in this moment, he can save the day. He can save everyone. And why? He wants to make it clear. Because he's little. The thing that he thought was a weakness turns out to be an incredible strength. The thing he thought was a weakness turns out to be a strength. So this morning, we're looking at a very famous story. We'll be talking about David and Goliath. But I'm not going to read the story for a couple of reasons. One, it's pretty famous, and I think we all have a general understanding of the story. Two, it's like 50 verses, and I don't want to spend the majority of the sermon just doing out loud story time. We'll still go through the story piece by piece, though, and if you would like to follow along and fact-check me along the way, you can open your Bibles. The story is in 1 Samuel chapter 17, and we'll be going through verses 1 to 50. 1 Samuel 17, verses 1 to 50. So, the Philistines and the Israelites, they're preparing themselves for war. And each of their armies are atop hills facing each other with a valley in between them. But instead of having an all-out battle and suffering many casualties, they're going to have a fight of champions where each army sends out one person to fight. And whoever wins that fight will win the war. It sounds good until the Philistines send out their guy. And he's a literal giant. He's this man named Goliath, and he's probably bigger than any person any Israelite has ever seen. And he challenges any Israelite, come out and face me. But everyone is too scared. And this cycle of Goliath stepping out and hurling insults and challenging goes on for 40 days. 40 days of Goliath just saying whatever smack talk he wants to the Israelites and everyone being too scared to face him. How could anyone go up against this giant? And it's not just a fear of losing your life. Because if you lose this fight, the whole country will become the servants and slaves of the Philistines. And your name and your family line will be shamed for the failure. Now, simultaneously to all of this, there's this little shepherd boy named David who has three older brothers that are already in the army. And his dad sends David to the front line to deliver some grain and some bread. And when David gets there, he learns about this giant. And that for 40 days, he's just been insulting his people and his God. And for a month and a half, no one has done anything about it. And it makes David's blood boil. And so he asks some of the soldiers, what happens to the guy who defeats this giant? David is like ready to go already. If this were a sporting event, David is the rookie at the press conference before the championship game, talking smack about how he's going to methodically take apart the reigning champ. People are probably snickering under their breath, thinking, who does this guy think he is? His brother even comes up to him and tells him, go back and watch the sheep. You're too arrogant. You have a wicked heart. Instead, David goes straight to the king, King Saul, and he's like, put me in, coach. I'll take this guy on. I feel like Saul wouldn't even know how to begin to respond. He's having like a child come up to him. And Saul just tells him, this guy has been training to be a warrior since he was born. You're a shepherd boy. Go home. So David gives his credentials. He tells Saul, I've killed lions and I've killed bears while defending my sheep. I can take on Goliath. Saul thinks about it and says, okay, God be with you. He probably can't believe he's putting the fate of his people in this young man's hands. But what other choice does he have? He at least wants to help David out, though. And so he tries to give David his armor and his sword. David tries it out for a second, but it's too heavy and he's not used to it. It will just slow him down. So he says, no thanks. Instead, he goes down to the river and collects 5 stones. Again, imagine being Saul or anyone else in this army and seeing David say no thank you to the armor and just going down to the river and picking up 5 stones. You probably can't believe what you're seeing, and you're just mentally preparing yourself for a life of servitude. Now David's got everything he needs, his 5 stones, and he steps out and he challenges Goliath. And Goliath himself is insulted that he is being challenged by David. They exchange some insults and then prepare for battle. Goliath lumbers towards David, but David doesn't waste any time. He sprints forward, loads his sling with a stone, whips it around, and hurls it. And what do you know? It's a direct hit, square in the forehead. It hits him so hard, it says that it sunk into his forehead, and Goliath falls down dead on the spot. So I think a traditional way of understanding this story is that David overcame insurmountable odds. He accomplished the impossible. He defeated the giant, the ultimate underdog victory. But was he actually the underdog? Sure, he was smaller than Goliath. But if we look at a tale of the tape, Goliath's strengths were his size, the intimidation factor, the size of his weapons, the strength of his armor, and his pure physical strength. But what were David's strengths? Experience fighting large animals, his speed and his quickness, and most importantly, his expertise at fighting with a ranged weapon. Someone who could really use a sling that David had could fire off a stone at around 100 miles per hour. So Goliath is literally bringing a knife to a gunfight. In that sense, David would obviously be expected to win this fight. Now, obviously, if David fought the fight on Goliath's terms, he would never stand a chance. And that's what everyone expected him to do. That's why Saul wanted David to wear his armor. But David knew better than that. He knew that to fight Goliath on Goliath's terms would be to lean into his own weaknesses. Instead, David leaned into his strengths, even if it wasn't what everyone expected of him. And it was actually the things that people thought were a weakness of David that turned out to be his strength. So how do we apply this to our lives? My encouragement for us today is to rethink the way we think about our weaknesses and our strengths. It can be so easy to compare ourselves to others and find all the ways that we don't measure up. But if we could just reframe those aspects of ourselves, we might find that those shortcomings to be incredibly useful in different circumstances. I'll give you a few examples from life. This happens all the time in sports, especially college sports. There are football teams who can never match the talents of some of the upper echelon teams. But do you know what they do instead? they don't play the game on the terms of the more talented teams. They pivot and do something different. It does not take talent to play hard and be athletic. It simply requires training and dedication. So a team can play a no-huddle offense for the entire game and wear the talented team down until talent is not a factor anymore. Or take college basketball. Syracuse is a perennial March Madness team, but they never get players like Duke or Kentucky. Instead, they play a zone defense instead of man-to-man. And then super talented offenses have to shift what they've been doing the entire season and practicing all season in order to get around this zone defense. This happens in business too. Maybe a business does not have the budget to do TV ads or get a celebrity endorsement, but they can use their money wisely. Instead of hiring a D-list celebrity to do TV advertisements in the middle of the day when no one will see it, they try to do something different, like guerrilla marketing or grassroots marketing or making something go viral on social media. And it can happen in our churches as well. We might not be the size of a megachurch, and so we cannot run the programs that a megachurch would run. And every time we think about how we can't run these programs, we might feel down about our size and see it as a weakness. But how can we reframe our thinking of our size to see it as a strength? I can think of several, and I'm sure there are so many more. The first, we can be known here. This is a wonderful community of people with so many connections and intersecting stories through the years. It is almost impossible to come to Fletcher Hills and be anonymous. We are known here, and we do life together. Another strength, similar to the last one, is that being a smaller church, we are all participants here. We serve on leadership, or in missions, or in setup and cleanup and teardown, making the things happen. We do not have observers here. We all participate in the life of the church and are invested. And in not doing big programs, we can actually be freed up to do so many creative things. We have the freedom to try new things if we have the courage to do it. Like how we were able to bring in families to live on our campus while they are getting settled in our country. And we could share our space with another worshiping body. And there are so many other changes we've made on our campus over the last 2 years. Changes that can happen because we are not wrapped up in huge programs, right? We are not a massive ship that takes years to steer. We can pivot on a dime. And it happens in our student ministry too. Because we are not heavily burdened with programming, our students were able to help with the preschool spaghetti dinner and make it more magical. Because we aren't burdened with programs, my volunteers and I were able to go attend all of the end-of-the-year programs and performances and promotions and graduations of our students over the last 3 weeks. Programming can be fun and exciting, but they can also stop us from doing so much too. We can be like David, trying to wear armor that doesn't fit us. Trying to run programs that are not for us. But instead of wishing we could be bigger to fit into that armor, how can we utilize the strengths that we do have? And it applies to our personal lives as well. What are the areas of our lives that we feel overwhelmed by because we are trying to do life the way that others expect us to? The way that others expect us to, instead of leaning into our own strengths and doing things in a way that would actually allow us to succeed. Now, I'm going to give you an example, but I'm not saying that dodgeball is a major obstacle in my life. It's just a silly example. But whenever we play dodgeball with our students, being in a wheelchair obviously seems like a huge disadvantage. It's hard for me to dodge. I'm just going to get creamed. But how can I reframe my weakness as a strength? I tell my kids, my chair is not my body. So hating my chair does not get me out. It's way harder for them to get me out, right? I reframed my weakness and saw it as a strength. How can we, in the same way, think creatively about the things that we think hold us back? Because we are living life on terms that were not set out for us. Instead, how can we turn those weaknesses into strength by doing life on our terms? How can we kill the giants in our lives, not by fighting on the giants' terms, but on our own, leaning into our own strengths? Let's pray. Dear God, you have blessed us with so much. If only we could see the way that you see. Give us divine eyes to see how we can lean into our strengths, to begin to see how we have strengths that we never even considered before, because we spend so much time comparing ourselves to others and seeing them as weaknesses, God. Help us to live the way that you would want us to live, courageously, taking advantage of every gift that you've given us, God. We pray all this in your name. Amen.